Everyone in the Pokemon TCG says that we're in this bubble that's going to burst. Or are we just in a brand new era? Let's talk about it. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Gym Leaders Podcast, where we talk all things Pokemon TCG. I'm Travis with TCG Funhouse, here with my boy.
I'm ASX from ASX TCG. How's it going, everybody? I'm excited to talk about this bubble bursting today.
Is the bubble going to burst? That's the question, right? That's the one thing that we're going to be talking about today. Because we're in my opinions, with, you know, cards like this Umbreon Alternate Art going for extraordinarily amounts of money into the $300 and $400 range, and all of these new Charizards that we're constantly getting that are always in that $200 range, right? Like, It just seems to me like everybody is waiting. Like, Pokemon can't continue this high-flying acrobatic act that we're in since 2020.
Sure.
And, you know, I think we can. I really think we can. You know, do I think we're going to reach the same highs that we reached in 2020? No, that's because it was new, it was fresh, everybody was still trying to... I know me saying Pokemon TCG is new, but the situation was new, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we did collect back in the 90s, and we did start all of this, you know, before everybody else came into the... I'm just saying. just backing us on that one. But yeah, somebody made a comment in one of our videos that we posted, one of our Q&As. Last week, we were talking about the alternate arts and the prices and stuff like that. And basically, I was coming through the approach of, it makes no sense to me why the Umbreon alternate art would be the same price as a base set Charizard, right? Because I still feel that way. I still do. I'm like, I don't get it. But you guys down in the comment section, it really is. It still blows my mind. But you guys down in the comment section really brought up a ton of valid points that really makes me feel like we're in this brand new era of the Pokemon TCG where these prices are going to continue for things like these alternate art cards and these Rainbow Charizard cards and all of that stuff. And, you know, kind of before we start getting into like the details of conversation, just at a first glance, ASX, are you thinking that we're in this new era, or are we still waiting for this bubble to burst and these prices to come crashing to the floor?
Yeah, for sure. No, I definitely think we're in a new era. It's totally different. Way different from, you know, back in 99, but, you know, if you look back, you know, not that long ago, you know, back into the, you know, mid, 2015, 16, 17, it's totally different from then. I mean, you know, you said it there, kind of 2020, we had a huge influx of people coming into the hobby, super excited about it, buying up all the stock everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we're kind of at a point where, you know, the supply or the demand is starting to be met, but, you know, the demand is still raging on, you know? And, I think it's just, you know, kind of at a point where we need to start looking at this a little bit differently and thinking about it differently.
And I wanted to start right where you actually just mentioned, and that was, you know, Pokemon meeting up with the demand for the Pokemon TCG, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what started this whole problem, is that we had this huge influx of demand and there was not the supply to support that, right? So we ended up with empty shelves and cards going for two times as much as they normally should, or even like booster boxes going for $30, $40 more than they normally would. Like, all of these sort of things happened. People came in and started taking advantage of the situation, and then you ended up with scalpers and bad people for the community and all that stuff. For the most part, I think a lot of the scalpers have gone because places like Walmart and Target have increased the price of their product, which is bringing profit margins down for them, right? For the scalpers. Yeah. So all of a sudden now it's not feasible, you know, to buy out the entire shelf of $4.50 packs or $25 collection boxes when your profit margins on those were just that $5 in the first place, right? So you were buying them for $20, selling them for $30 after shipping, making $5. Literally that $5 price tag has changed the way that scalpers are treating the Pokemon TCG, which is why you can still find Bolt-On boxes and Pikachu V-boxes and all everywhere. Those things out on the shelf. And then the other thing to talk about, them printing to demand, is look at these older sets that are coming back out, right? Like Shining Fates just hit a massive restock at pretty much every Target and Walmart. I was able to find Shining Fates ETBs, Pikachu boxes, those Walmart-exclusive boxes. All of that stuff was back on the shelves, which you can't expect to continue moving forward, right? Like, we're definitely going to be getting more Evolving Skies, more Brilliant Stars. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a nice another Celebrations reprint at some time later this year, maybe right before the holiday or something like that. We're going to get those sets that, quote-unquote, what Pokemon says, customers want, right? The hot sets that people want to buy. But the one thing that we're noticing, and we talked about this a little bit last time in our last Q&A, that even though we're getting this mass printing for demand, you know what's not happening? Pull rates are not staying consistent. So the Umbreon VMAX alternate art is extraordinarily rare still. Even though thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of booster packs of Evolving Skies are being ripped, like they just released the Walmart exclusive 3-pack boxes right here that I'm holding up on the screen. These 3-pack boxes, dude, the pull rates in these are garbage, bro. Like, people are literally like boycotting these boxes because there's like nothing inside, like regular holos at best, you know.
That's what I've seen too.
We've opened a couple here, and there's been nothing inside. I think there was, like, a Greedent V or whatever, you know, something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, it was not good. So even though that Pokemon is printing to this massive demand that is right now, the pull rates on these huge cards are still low. Like, you would expect that with all the stuff being opened up, there'd be 100 or 120 of these Umbreons on TCG Player, and there's not. Like, there's, like, 15... 25, like, there's not that many available at any given time. So this mass production of Pokemon cards, I don't think is going to hurt prices at the end of the day, like a lot of people do. I do think it might affect sealed product, right? Sealed product is this big, massive, like, thing now, when before it never was. There's people with 30, 40, 50, you know, Celebrations ETBs in a closet, cases of ETBs in a closet, cases of booster boxes for Evolving Skies. They're going to keep shoveling that stuff out. So sealed prices, I do believe, are going to be way of a less investment down the road, even though, you know, usually ROI is still significantly better with them. I think that could be changing with this type of printing style. So what's your rebuttal to that whole spiel that I just vomited all over this microphone?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense what you say. So I don't know if I have much of a rebuttal to that. But, you know, it is interesting that we're not seeing at least a little bit better pull rates, right? I mean, it does make the cards more rare in turn, increasing their price and everything. But, yeah, it's interesting. Honestly, I wish the pull rates were better. You know, being a PokeTuber and everything, but yeah, those like we talked about it in our last, I think it was the Q&A, you know, after the first wave, it just seems like it drops off a cliff really, really fast. And it's, I mean, is that going to affect, you know, people wanting to go out there and buy, you know, once they figure out, like once they really, really figure out, like, you know, wave two, wave three really isn't going to have any, you know, anything like. Is that going to help, you know,
keep stuff on the shelf? The chase is why they're buying it in the first place, right? Like, I mean, think about Pokemon. Think about Pokemon as a whole.
Yeah.
Look at shiny hunting. Shiny hunting is the most ridiculous freaking thing in the world. It is the most least rewarding end game of any game ever made, and yet people, including myself, can't stop doing it. Because of that feeling you get when you get that shiny Pokemon, it almost feels to me like that's what they're trying to do with these cards, you know? Instead of, we talked about it before, and, you know, instead of the Charizard base set holo being like one in whatever it was, right? Like 56 packs or something, right? You know, fairly a lot easier to pull than this Umbreon, which is reportedly like one in 2,500. that still is like half the pull rates of a full odds shiny Pokemon. A full odds shiny Pokemon is like 1 in 4,000 something or something like that other. And yeah. So it's ridiculous, you know, like it's so stupid to actually hunt these things, and yet people do it every single day. And I feel like that's where they're trying to go with the big hits, these chase cards, right? Very similar to the numbered cards and stuff like that. And we've talked about it before. Yeah. This is their way of giving us numbered cards. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just go straight flat out and just be like, hey, guys, we are turning chase cards into shiny hunts. You know, pulling these alternate arts are going to be 1 in 4,500 and whatever, right? Please correct me on the actual full odds shiny hunts. I could Google it right now, but I don't feel like it. Let me know in the comment section what actual full odds shiny is. I know it's absolutely asinine.
But I know it's high too.
As long as that chase is there, people are going to want to buy it, right? So when is the one time you stop opening packs? When you pull the chase.
I was going to say when I pulled the Charizard.
When you pull the chase, right? When you pull that Umbreon alternate art in that Rayquaza, you go, eh, I don't need Evolving Skies anymore, right? Or, like you said, Shiny Fates. Oh, once I pulled that Shiny Charizard VMAX, I don't need to open Shiny Fates anymore. So, so how do you combat that? You make it more rare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it'd be kind of fun. I can't argue that I would feel great, you know,
right?
One of the people that pulled one of those, you know, 1 in 4,000 pack cards.
Yep. And let's say they're worth $600 now. You know what I mean? Like, how would you feel? You buy 6 more booster boxes.
Amazing.
Be like, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Sell it. Buy 6 more booster boxes.
If it was wave one, I would.
So I think rarity is playing a really big deal into this new era. And I really do think this is the way of Pokemon giving us numbered. Excuse me. I was just drinking some Monsters. giving us like serial numbered cards without actually giving us serial numbered cards, you know, and I really think that's going to help us go improve. And now that we've talked about, you know, like the rarity and the overprinting and stuff like that, let's talk about something else. A lot of people tend to be forgetting this. Every time there's a conversation about Pokemon and its community and all this stuff, right? There's always two sides. There is the player side and there is the collector side. And I'm here to say there's a lot more sides than that, okay? And it's new, right? From 1999 to 2019, there was two sides, collectors and players. From 2020 and beyond, guys, there's investors, there's content creators, and there still is players and collectors, right? So now we're looking at four groups. In the Pokemon TCG, when before there was only two. So if you think demand is going to be coming down, I don't see it whatsoever. Because people are looking at this as investments for the future. You know, like a commodity, like a physical commodity. And then there's people who are almost trying to make a living, a la you and me, out of being content creators in the Pokemon TCG as well. So before I elaborate on any more, I want your thoughts. What do you think about the community and how much it's changed since 2020,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't argue, you know, that it was very two-sided, you know, very early on. You know, I will say that, you know, there probably were some investors out there. I mean, there were some investors, some. Very, very small portion.
But Forever was a bad investment.
true. Yeah, I can't argue that, but I mean, maybe they knew something we didn't, you know, like Gary with all his Charizards, or, I mean, people are selling first edition booster boxes.
Are you saying that they're time travelers?
Maybe. I mean, shoot, they had the right idea.
Right?
I can't argue that. But yeah, you know, so, but it's way more prominent now. You know, I wouldn't, if you would have asked me pre-2020, like, to invest in Pokemon cards, I would have looked at you like, what the
wasn't
heck
even
are you talking
a thing
about, like, you know, like that's not even anything on my radar. But yeah, 2020 hit, everything blew up, and now we have Pokemon investors that are solely investors. Don't open a single pack, don't even know what cards come in any sets. They just know, you know, maybe there's a Charizard, or they probably know there's a Charizard in there, but that's about it. You know, so that has become a huge portion of it. And I mean, that's got to be, you know, a main thing behind what why the prices are the way they are now. I mean, if you have investors coming in, they're smarter about investing and, you know how much these products could probably get. So I think that kind of has, you know, a little bit to do with it also. And then you also said, what was the other one you mentioned? Investors,
content players, creators. Players,
and me? You?
You.
Us?
You, oh, you son of a biscuit.
Geez, seriously. Yeah, you know, we're over here grinding it out, trying to make, you know, ends meet over here on our Pokemon videos.
Right?
You know.
I feed my kids. I got kids, bro.
Right? But yeah, I mean, I feel like I would be wrong to say that, you know, content creators didn't add to, you know, where things are going also. Not, you know, not mm-hmm. only from, like, pricing and stuff like that, but also the popularity. You know, a lot more people out there making Pokemon content, openings, you know, video games, playing the TCG and all that.
Influencers.
You know, influencers helps get people interested in it as well. So I think those two additions to the Pokemon world, the sphere of Pokemon, the investors and the content creators, I think was a really big positive for the company and Pokemon as a whole, the community.
Yeah, I think one of the most underrated aspects of this Pokemon surge was the content creators themselves. I really do. Like, almost times a thousand, you know? Because if you got to think about consistency, right, and all these people who are continuing to buy packs to mm-hmm. put them on TikTok and Instagram and tweet about it.
Here on YouTube.
It's everywhere, man. It is absolutely everywhere. And it is massive, right? And then, so kind of like what happened was, you got to take a look at guys like Leonhart and Real Breaking Nade and Unlisted Leaf, you know, Ando over there. These guys make their living on it. And not only do they make their living on it, but they make a damn good living on it. You know, they're not just, they're not just clocking in and pulling down 45 grand and going home like most people in the workforce nowadays. You know, they're making a nice little chunk of change on their big channels. So, you know, you got this escape factor, too, where people are kind of like, you know, I always liked Pokemon as a kid. And, you know, and here's Leonhart, this grown man, opening Pokemon cards on YouTube. And not only is he doing it and, like, enjoying it and enjoying his nostalgia, but he's making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Here's PokéRev opening all this vintage that, oh, my gosh, it's bringing back so many memories. I would love to do that. And not only that, he's making money hand over fist. Hand over fist by doing it, you know? So it's like, it has motivated all of these people in our age bracket to get online, you know, like to get on the YouTube grind, on the TikTok grind, you know, people in their early 30s, late 20s, like people are all about it now. And to think about the amount of product that has to be bought to fill that whole slot is insane. It's insane. You know what I mean? With the thousands of people that post content here on YouTube every and on Twitch day. And everything every single day. We're talking thousands of videos every day. Thousands of videos based around the Pokemon TCG. And that's only in the U.S. You got Japanese creators. You got Chinese creators. You got Indian creators. You got South American creators. Canada, England, Germany. Everywhere. I have found Pokemon channels in every single freaking niche, in every single country, in every single language. Like, that is a lot of product that has to get burned through for these content creators. And as long as being a content creator is a viable job, there is going to be people that want to do it inside the Pokemon trading card niche. Like me, like you, like probably half the people watching this damn video, to be honest with you. It's true. So, like, how big of an impact do you think content creators directly have on the market and on, you know, the supply and demand and that, all of that, just the content creator portion?
I think it's absolutely massive. I mean, it's essentially free advertising for the Pokemon company.
Absolutely.
Thousands and thousands of videos every single day, thousands of packs being opened, the brand new sets. You know, look over here at this shiny new card. Look over here at, you should buy this product. You know, it's huge. You know, I think it's probably, I would argue, probably the biggest advertisement for the Pokemon community. I mean,
I agree 10,000% on that.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, their own, you know, the Pokemon Company International YouTube channel. You know, they put out like their new set, like commercials and stuff. And, you know, I'm sure maybe you might see those on like, you know, Nickelodeon or Disney or something.
I don't see them anywhere. I never see them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch any kids.
Well, I have two kids. You know? I have them on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever see Pokemon commercials ever. Pokemon trading card commercials. Never see it.
Right.
I'll see it maybe as like an ad or something on YouTube, you know, but exactly, you know, I don't ever see it on TV anymore.
Right, right. So, I mean, yeah, it's huge. I mean, I can't really say anything else. I mean, it's the biggest free advertisement the Pokemon Company can have. And they're going to ride it out. I can't see why they would ever, you know, not want these content creators out there doing this kind of stuff. And the more and more content creators come in, the more the merrier, I would say, for them.
Yeah, it really is crazy, too, because, like, let's think about this in numbers for a second, right? So, you know, cable ratings and stuff like that have completely changed, right? This is going to be like a complete sidebar here. But let's take a look at cable ratings for a second. You know, back in the late 90s and stuff like that, you had, you know, millions and millions and millions of people watching, you know, cable television. That's really not the case anymore, at least according to, the Nielsen ratings, right? The Nielsen ratings, yes.
Yeah.
You know, at any given day, the number one show on cable might be like a million viewers, you know, to where like back before it was like 5.5 million, 6 million, you know, even go back to the days of like MASH and stuff when you had like 12 million, 13 million people watching it. Like it was absolutely insane. Yeah. Now on a good 1 hour show, you'll be lucky to hit a million viewers, if not 800,000, 900,000, something like that, to be the number one show in your time slot on cable.
Crazy.
Lionheart Real Breaking 8 will get that on their Astral Radiance opening videos in the first week. And how much did that cost Pokemon as opposed to a time slot would cost Pokemon? You know what I mean? All they had to do was send them a box and an ETB. So even if you're looking at MSRP, it's $200. And for Pokemon Company, it does not cost them $200 to make that stuff. You know what I mean? So you're looking at maybe a $25, $30 investment to get a million views across two channels in the first week up before release. It is absolutely the most effective and most affordable advertising that they could possibly do. And like you said, the more content creators that they're going to get into that, the more cheap advertising that they're going to get, and they're going to touch everybody. And the other thing is, too, you know, let's say they buy an ad slot during 90 Day Fiancé, which is the number one show on cable right now. How many of those people do you think are collecting Pokemon cards? No? Right? Yeah. Two of them?
Yeah.
Right? How many people who watch Lionheart's videos are buying Pokemon cards? You know what I mean? So, like,
95%+
their target audience is also, like, 100% in that case. So, like, it's a no-brainer. Right. It's an absolute no-brainer. But anyway, that was completely off on a sidebar there for a second.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, too, about content creators and just, you know, the more the merrier coming in, like, content creators also arguably buy way more product than
absolutely
your average person that's just opening packs off camera. I just wanted to make that point as well. Just one more thing to add to it.
Well, it's just the trickle-down effect, right? Let's take a look at Danny Phantom and stuff, and even my channel here. How many people have watched some of my videos on how to start your own Pokemon business? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, how many of those people buy extra product? How much product have I bought with intention of getting them to others now, you know? So it's just, there's so much more of people like me than there was in 2017. You know,
That too. Yeah,
right
more
now,
people buying product from the distributors.
Correct. Yep. More content creators, more people who want to run it on the side. Right. So when you have that, I have to make sure I sell my product. Right. So this is another thing where you got to talk about supply and demand. Everybody who wants to run a Pokemon business has to sell their product to buy more product. Right. You can't store it in a storeroom and store it in a closet. I can't treat my business like my collection. I have to completely separate them, or else my business is going to fail. And when you are looking to sell everything off, I need to make sure I sell everything before my next order, right? Because yeah. I guarantee you, 95% of the people in my position, they need that money. I need yeah. my money to buy my next order. So if I'm not selling through my product, I can't afford my next order, and then my reputation goes down to my distributor, and they don't give me diddly poop on my next one. Yeah. You know what I mean? So what yeah. happens? Stuff gets sold for cheaper. MSRP. Booster boxes are $85, $95, $90. It doesn't matter. Maybe not for Evolving Skies or Brilliant Stars, you know. But let's just look at Chilling Rain, Battle Styles, Fusion Strike, you know, pretty much right. every other box you can get for like $100 or below right now, with Battle yeah. Styles and Fusion being like $85. Like, those are basically $0 profit margins on a booster box sale because people need to sell them. But guess what? Pokemon already sold them to somebody. Yep. So they're done.
They made their money.
They made their money. They're done. So now you got all these people like me who are trying to push all this product at good prices or whatever they can do to get rid of it, increasing supply to the streets, increasing booster packs being opened, increasing more people buying and opening and selling and trading Pokemon cards, right? It's just a trickle-down effect. And with people like Danny Phantom teaching people how to do that, I mean, look at his videos. His how to build Pokemon business videos are at like 100,000 views, 80,000
yeah,
views.
They do really, really well. Yeah.
Who would watch that if you're not thinking about it?
Exactly.
So if there's 80,000 people thinking about starting a Pokemon business, what? What?
That's insane.
That is absolutely crazy, man. That is absolutely crazy. But now that we talked about content creators a little bit and then also like the business side of it, let's look at influencers and investors for a second here, right? So yeah. like you mentioned it earlier and you said it's cool. It's kind of cool to be in the Pokemon TCG now, right? Thanks to guys like, definitely. You know, Steve Aoki and Logan yeah. Paul and, you know, the two big streamers that opened up cards. I don't remember who they are. Ninja's into Pokemon now. Ninja's into Pokemon. Yeah. Like, there's all these people who are into Pokemon now and posting pretty frequently, you know, Pokemon card stuff, whether it's on an Instagram account or Logan Paul wearing it down to his boxing match. Like, it is cool to have yeah. Pokemon cards, which it has never been cool. Even right. when I was in fourth grade collecting Pokemon cards, there was this stigma of, oh, you have Pokemon cards? Loser! Right. You know, from the kids who were 2 or 3 years older than you.
Right. Can you imagine Logan Paul walking out with the Charizard around his neck like 10 years ago?
Oh my God. Absolutely not. Absolutely like, not, bro. People would have been like, what a clown. What a clown. I mean, they do anyway, but, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so like, what is your thoughts on the influencer, aspect of Pokemon's, you know, Pokemon TCG becoming cool and hip?
Yeah.
Mainstream.
I'm cool. It's hip with me. You know, I'm down for, you know, any of the bigger influencers, anybody that, you know, has the confidence to come out and be like, yeah, you know, I love Pokemon enough to be out here doing stuff with the community, doing stuff for the community. I think it's great. The more people that want to come in, I've always said it, the more people, you know, the better here for the Pokemon community. And I think, you know, with those high level influencers, you know, it's just gonna help kind of feed the funnel here, kind of bringing people in. And, you know, I think I heard recently, like, Logan Paul is doing like another big event.
First edition base set box break. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think if he keeps doing more things like that, you know, that's only going to be good. And, you know, from what I've seen, the stuff that Steve Aoki does, like, that looks like an awesome time. Every like convention I've seen him at, like, he like gets the crowd going with what he's doing. So yeah, I'm all for it. I love, you know, the big influencers coming in. I gotta say, when Logan Paul was first coming in, I was like, like, I don't know.
When it first happened.
You know, but in, you know, 2020, like, what is it? Hindsight is 2020, I guess. You kind of look back yeah. and you're like, well, you know, it did bring a lot of positivity.
Nobody wants to hear this, but what Logan Paul did for the Pokemon community is probably the biggest thing that anybody has ever done for it. Right. Yeah. Aside from the creators, you know, and the artists yeah. and, you know, the lore people, like, aside from people who are within the company, name yeah. me somebody who's done more for the Pokemon TCG than Logan Paul. Right.
Yeah. Maybe like
nobody.
Leon Hart and Unlisted Leaf. Maybe.
I don't even think so at all.
Not quite at that level.
I'm telling you right now that none of those creators would be over 1 million subs right now if Logan Paul did not bring his influence into it, right? Because what happens is people see Logan Paul. Because remember, he did a collab with Lionheart very early on. When Logan Paul first, when he first showed interest into it, Lionheart was like, bro, I'm the biggest content creator in Pokemon. Let's do a collab. Lionheart probably paid for it, you know, for all we know. He probably probably supplied all the stuff.
Lionheart wasn't the bigger creator in that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we talked about it before. We talked about people like, you know, that's a different episode, right?
Definitely.
But Lionheart probably supplied all that product. He was the one who did all everything that people do to him. He did for Logan Paul, and it really helped out the whole Pokemon TCG community. Because that's when they found Lionheart and found Real Breaking 8 and found Unlisted Leaf and they found all these big TCG content creators because they saw Logan Paul having one or two videos on it sparked their interest in who shows up under their home screen now. Who shows up under suggested videos after watching a Pokemon video. You know what I mean?
True, true. Yeah, that's very true. I would agree with that. I mean, it really blew the top off of a lot, you know, when he came in and did his very first box break and bought all those first edition booster boxes for so much money, you know, and I think, too, like, you know, what do you think? You think that's bringing in more, like, younger collectors in that, or is that bringing in more investors? Because, I mean, he's opening first edition booster boxes, like, people are paying a fine penny for those packs.
Because if there's one person who there's a few, okay, but if there's one person who has really taken this new world and made it his oyster, it's Logan Paul. You know, you got your David Dobriks and you know your other people like that as well. But I mean, it's just people look up to that sort of thing. Right, they look up to Logan Paul because they don't work at a 9-to-5. You know, they don't want to work at a 9-to-5 their whole life like their mommy and daddy did. I know I fucking don't. Excuse my language, but I'm sick of it, bro. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Watch all these influencers live off these different ways of doing things, and when Pokemon is involved, and all of a sudden Logan Paul's like, "Dude, look at all this Pokemon stuff I have. I'm investing in it." It's kind of like the same reason why NFTs blew up. It's the exact same thing. Guys like Gary Vee and Logan Paul and Mr. Beast and all these people buying into NFTs, they also bought into the Pokemon TCG, which is why everything has just jumped in price, which brings in, yes, the younger crowd, people are in their 20s, but it brings in this new generation of online activity. You know? It's not just going to your store anymore. It's you can find this all over the internet and all these other things, which really you couldn't before. There was a couple of trusted sites, you know, but for the most part, you were still trying to buy them at Target and Walmart and, you know, all these other things. And eBay was almost a scam all the time. And Amazon was always a scam all the time. Ooh. And it changed the whole face of what it looks like. And people always want to give, like, Logan Paul shit for the Pokemon stuff, especially Pokemon community people. But if you really want your cards to be worth something and you want your collection to hold value, you need guys like Logan Paul in it and for the long run. And I don't care what anybody says. Logan Paul, you can tell, enjoys Pokemon.
Yeah,
you can tell. Some people don't. Like, Gary Vee doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? He didn't give a shit. So. It's just another product. It's just another thing for him to push and try to sell
Pokemon
and whatever.
Is Charizard for him.
exactly. But like, you can tell Logan Paul loves that shit. Like, and he wanted the best of the best. You know what I mean? And he was going to go as far. Nobody buys $1 million Pokemon card without really enjoying it.
That's true. I would totally agree with you because like, if you didn't enjoy Pokemon, like you could find a lot of other stuff that you do enjoy to spend your money on. And I would say I could tell as soon when like I was watching his very first live, like I could tell he was like really into it when he opened that first pack. You could tell he was like, his hands were shaking. Like, I'm like, okay, like this guy,
he didn't know shit, but he loved
seriously.
It.
Seriously. Right. Yeah, that's true. He had a lot to learn and I'm sure he's learned a lot since then, but
I'm sure.
But yeah, he totally 100% was genuine about it and was totally excited. So that was good to see. That was refreshing because that was still at the point when I first saw that, I was like, I don't know about this guy. So yeah.
Yeah. And something that you and I might disagree on here, for somebody like you who likes to play the game. That
doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. And everyone in the comment section lets us know every single week. but this way we might actually disagree on this one here, because I know you like to play and you think about things a little bit differently, and a lot of people in the comment section do as well. You know, the high prices on these cards can actually be good. There's a lot of people who like to play the game and build their decks. And, man, how am I supposed to build, you know, this type of deck if every card is $100? You know, I can't do it. I want to play the game. Boo, boo, boo. You know, whatever. But this type of activity is extraordinarily good for everybody, including the Pokemon company themselves. And, like, I would love to see it to continue this way. It's as long as it's not people completely taking advantage of other people, like the scalpers were in 2020 and 2021, where they were curbing the local area and then trying to resell in the local area on Facebook Marketplace. Like, that that stuff was, I hated that stuff, because it was gum. It was
literally a picture of it in the Walmart bag, in their car.
In the Walmart parking lot.
In the parking lot. Come on, guys.
For twice the price. Home? That shit pissed me off, okay?
I'm so glad that that is over. The majority of that's over.
Other than that, this current market is actually a good thing. And a lot of people think that modern cards are going to be so overly printed, they're not going to be worth anything. And I completely disagree with that. And do I think that the Umbreon is going to continue to be $300 to $400? Probably not. It will settle for me in between like $2 and $250, $260. At the end of the day, because we're going to get more Evolving Skies. We're going to get it for a while now. But like, what are your, do you disagree with me? Do you want players to be able to afford every card and build the deck that they want? Or do you like this, you know, hey, this is a $400 card and I can't buy four of those to build my deck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough question, because if you just flat out ask me, yes, I want everybody to be able to have every card, if that was a simple answer. But, I think they are – there's a lot of different ways I'm going about this question in my mind. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of different ways that they're doing this, I think. And one thing I think they are trying to do to combat that, because I fully understand, like, nobody's going out there and buying four Umbreon alternate art VMAXs to put in deck. That's insane. So what I think they're trying to do to help that is with the new Pokemon Go Live. In there, you still have to, like, you know, purchase them with, like, in-game currency and stuff like that. But you're much easier. It's much going to be much easier to get the exact cards that you want, you know, for your decks. You're going to be able to build, you know, any kinds of decks you want that way. So I think they are taking a step in the right direction that way. And I think, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that we have some of these super high priced cards that also happen to be super viable, because what I think that also does is, you know, kind of forces people to think outside the box and create different decks and, you know, create decks to counter that deck, you know, which then those become popular. And, you know, I think it helps creativity, honestly. I mean, I know that I've been, when I, more recently started actually physically building decks, like, I don't have all the craziest cards, let alone four of them or three of them, you know, a copies of them to put in a deck, you know, so I had to get really, really creative with some of the decks that I was making. And that was a lot of fun, you know, help, you know, kind of teach me how to build decks a little bit better too, you know, because I was thinking outside of the box. So, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that the prices are going up. I do wish everybody could have every single card, but like
I was trying to get you. I was trying to get you to argue with me and all this. And you're just like,
I'm just trying to paint the full picture. You know how I see it. I don't think, you know, it's a bad thing, because I think they are doing things to kind of mitigate that. And I think, I really do think that the game is honestly getting more popular. I hear and see more people talking about it, playing it, you know, more and more. And I really do think once they get the new PTCGL, the Pokemon Trading Card Game.
Let me ask you this though. Are you only hearing more about it now because you're in it now, to where like in 2016 and 17, you really weren't in it. So you're not going to hear about it. right? Sure, it goes back to the old YouTube algorithm, right? They're not going to show you videos you don't want to watch.
That's true. You know what I mean? That's very true.
There's videos out there with 6 million views that I will never stumble across my homepage, and I will never watch them because they're just not my thing. So you can almost say, like, as popular as, you know, the Pokemon, like, live event seems right now, mm-hmm. is it just because we're sitting so close to it?
I think, you know, what's kind of helped bring some more popularity. Well, no. So the reason why I say, you know, I see more people, I totally get what you're saying with, like, the algorithm. That 100% makes sense, because as soon as you search one thing, like, you definitely see, like, 5 other videos pop up when you're not even really looking for that thing anymore.
Yeah.
So, I totally get that. But I am seeing a lot, like, more new people, new channels and stuff trying to get into it and building decks and talking about that. So that's what I was talking about there.
Yeah, true. Very true. Then, there's thousands every day, dude. We were talking about it before we started, how every day we're, like, finding new channels that are like, what? How does this person have 20,000, 30,000 subscribers? I've never even heard of them or seen them before.
Yeah.
Who is this person?
Exactly. and I think another reason, too, why I am seeing more of it is because they were actually able to play live, the live tournaments. We were able to get those back going here this year again, too. So I think more people just have interest in the game overall. So I'm definitely seeing more of it that way as well. I'm excited to see more people playing it for sure.
I'm definitely interested to see how those live events go. I really am, because
they're fun.
You know,
check them out.
I knew 4 content creator people, you know, buddies who went to, you know, the Indianapolis regionals or whatever it was. Yeah. And they were like, you know, and they were there, and they were posting content frequently, and it was going up and all this stuff, and they were telling me what, you know, that they're having a really good time and how busy it was and all this stuff, and I'm like, has it always been that way? Like, have they always been this popping, and we just don't know because there's not 40 content creators posting about it constantly, going back to that free marketing thing?
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
It's
so very strange. Good question, honestly. I wish I could answer that, but yeah.
But that's what I mean really exactly.
Watching before 2020.
That's exactly what I mean, how we're in this new era. So even if Pokemon was this popular in 2013, nobody freaking knew about it, because the way we consume entertainment is completely different. We didn't know about it because there was not a Pokemon TCG show on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or, you know, where else people consumed entertainment on cable and on regular TV. But now that more and more and more people are quote unquote like what, unplugging, they're calling it or something, right? Like cutting the cable.
Going unplugged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cutting
and
cable.
You know, which brings us to YouTube, and more people are watching Twitch every single day. Every single day people are watching more Twitch than the day before. Every single day people are consuming more online internet content than they were the day before. Whether it's Facebook. Facebook is a massive video library now. They have huge live stream gaming. All of these things, to where now all of these really small niches that don't require millions of dollars and producers and $1 million camera and all this equipment and a freaking sound stage and this, that, and the other thing and CGI artists. You don't need any of that crap, man. You don't need it all. I hanker back to, like, reality TV. Like, remember when Survivor came out and it was reality TV? Yeah. And it was like, oh, my God, real world, road rules, Survivor. Like, this is real. These are real people. What's happening? Yeah. That was still scripted television. It was a little more off the cuff. It was a little more, you know, like, what's the term I'm looking for where they make it up as they go? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Like improv,
you know, there might have been a lot more improv than like a full script being written out, but they were literally handed pieces of paper that were like, in this scene, you're angry, make angry faces. You need to say these couple of key words, but work your way around it. Almost like a wrestling promo. Right. And now, like, what we're getting on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook gaming and all these other places, TikTok, this is reality TV. This is the true, honest reality TV, because it's posted by actual real people. yes, there are a lot of production companies that have YouTube channels and all this other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, Leonhart, Real Breaking Nate, Pokey Rev, they're real people posting real content. This is reality TV, and that's why it is the future, and that's why it is next, right? It is next, and it's in this new era. And the Pokemon TCG has really found themselves in this new era, finally, in 2020, where they can make huge strides, and they can make huge growth numbers by being one of the more popular reality TV things out there right now, right? Because on top of that, it's gambling, right? Pokemon is gambling. Opening Pokemon cards is gambling. Opening a box is gambling. Yeah. What's inside? I don't know. So you're scratching that itch. You're hitting this big celebration and these rare items and all these other things. On top of that, it's reality TV, and it's just, it's all these different things. So I don't know where you're going to go from there, but it's your turn to talk.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to go from there either. But yeah, no, you do make a good point. Like, this is probably the most real entertainment TV, you know, that I've seen ever, right? You know, like you said it very well, like, we're real people, right? I'm sitting in my basement right now. Like, you guys can't see, but it is a giant mess on either side of me. Like, I'm a real person, you know? Very valid point. You're right. I don't know where else to go from there. I guess I'll just end it with, you know, content creation for the Pokemon community has been huge, is huge, and will continue to be huge.
I agree. I really think, you know, people, because people actually talk a lot of crap about it. Like, I see comments all the time, not just on, like, my videos or your videos or, you know, like, I see them on Leonhart's videos and Pokero's videos of them, you know, basically, like, almost, like, belittling content creators for creating, like, this spike in pricing and the spike in demand. And I can't find Pokemon cards because of content creators and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Like, it ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that's not going to go away.
Pokemon TCG is one of the, you know, niches that has really gotten a massive boost from this content creation game going into the next level from TikTok and moving on forward and everywhere and all these hours spent on phones. Pokemon TCG is one of those niches that has really grown. And look at Fortnite and Minecraft and look at the, you know, the freaking massive companies that were built on the back of those games simply because of this entertainment space. And Pokemon was one of those big companies that came in and said, I want a piece of that pie. And the TCG niche in specifically is the one thing that I think really, really got the big boost for the Pokemon company. And I'm sure they're loving
it. I would
agree. I'm sure they're loving it. So,
oh yeah, they're eating it up. How could they not be? You know, like, this is the biggest that they've been ever since their inception. So,
Do you think it's going to go anywhere?
Yeah, I think it's only going up, to be honest with you. I mean, I feel like we'll have some times where we kind of feel like we plateau a little bit, you know, where it's kind of like, you know, in between, it's not really an anniversary. It's, you know, nothing really big has happened in the anime or with games to, like, kind of influence the TCG. But
I think the animes are relevant.
Yeah,
in America.
It is more now.
In America.
It is.
I know it still is really popular in Japan and maybe some other countries and stuff like that, but in America, I think the anime is irrelevant right now. I really do.
It's nowhere near as big as it was.
Nope.
But yeah.
I think Astral Radiance is going to not be very popular. I think Astral Radiance is going to come off more as a Chilling Rain Battle Styles Fusion Strike set than it is a Evolving Skies and Brilliant Star set. And Pokemon Go, I think, is going to be cool. I think that's going to be a little bit of a letdown as well, to be honest with you. The only reason why I think it might not be is because of the three shiny starters. But that means, to me, it would still sit in the same space as Champion's Path with the two Charizards, you know? I can easily see those three starters being in between $100 and $300, depending on which one you pull. Well, it depends on the rarity. We don't even know yet.
That's a big part.
Because it's another small set, you know what I mean? But so is Champion's Path, and the Charizard were still fairly rare there. But, I mean, look at, you know, I don't know how rare Radiant Greninja and Hawlucha and I don't remember the other one. Whatever. Don't want it.
Heatran?
Heatran, yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, poor Heatran. I'm sorry. Still don't want you. I'll take you. But, like, how rare are they going to be? That's what I'm curious about. They're actually part of the set. They're not even secret rares. They're actually part of the set. So I'm wondering if they're going to be a little bit more common, you know, almost like VMAX rarity as opposed to, like, a rainbow rarity, which I think would be a big fail on their part.
Yeah. I was thinking it might be more like amazing rare kind of rarity.
God, where, that'd be such a bummer.
You know, it would be, because early on, like, I felt like you could, it was a pretty good pull rate for the amazing rares.
Dude, why do you think they're all only a couple bucks now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I really hope that's not the case.
I think it is going to be, though, because it's most of the content creators that got their stuff given to them have pulled like 2 shinies in each box. Which kind of sucks, because I think they really missed the boat on that, if that is the case. Yes, it's cool, but make those shinies your rare cards, you know?
Right.
And again, so, like, it's been confirmed. You know there's no VMAX alternate arts in Astral Radiance now. Just the regular Vs. All of the alternate arts are regular Vs. No more VMAX alternate arts.
Yeah, you're right.
They have the 2 trainer galleries for the Cali Rexes, who are, you know, the trainer gallery VMAX alternate arts. But I mean, that to me screams we're going to be dropping alternate arts in Generation 9. It really does. Man. It really, really does. I don't want to say it.
Then they must have something amazing on the table. Like,
I think, dude,
you're going to take away the card, the most expensive types of cards.
Why would they not give us VMAXs?
You got to be loading it up with something better.
Why would they not give us VMAXs? There's not even an Origin Form Palkia Dialga VMAX, you know, alternate arts, you know, like even the Machamp. Yeah. We have a Machamp VMAX. You could have made an alternate art Machamp VMAX and they chose not to. So dude, I don't know what is going to happen with the alternate arts, but I don't want them to go anywhere, but the way that it's looking, I don't know how much longer they're going to give it to us, man. I really don't.
That doesn't sound good.
You know, and there's more rainbows and there's more golds and all that stuff. I don't really see those going anywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if Gen 9 just kind of took the gold card rainbow route and we got something all new with whatever letter they choose this time. So, but it seems
I wish you didn't say that. I wish that wasn't true.
I'll make up my mind a little bit later after we get the next set after Pokemon Go. If that set only has a couple of alternate arts and there's no VMAX alternate arts, I would say that we're in trouble again. You know, but they might surprise us. They might go, hey, here's all of these, you know. But like you said, too, in the last episode, Trainer Gallery might be going away. Because we still have a shit ton of Trainer Galleries that we've not gotten yet. So those are going to have to be pushed out. Like, actually, I have a video coming up on the channel of the top 10 Trainer Gallery cards not printed in English yet, so stick around for that, guys.
Nice.
But, yeah, there's a lot of them. We haven't even gotten the Charizard yet, you know, or...
I know. I'm waiting for it.
Yep, it's weird. The Pikachu, there's now multiple Pikachus in Trainer Gallery that we've not gotten, and there's more gold cards. So tell me, just real quick before we get out of here, how frustrating is this black and gold card situation, right? So, in VMAX Climax, they gave us, like, 7 or 8 of them, right? And they have given us the shittiest ones in English.
The 4 worst ones?
They have given us fucking... excuse my language. Oh, my God. Sorry. They've given us Calyrex and freaking Urshifu black and gold cards. And then you know who they have not given us? I don't know. Rayquaza? Pikachu? Mew? Are you freaking kidding me, Pokemon Company? Like... yeah. Are you freaking kidding me, man? That is so unacceptable.
Like, those are just going to be, they're going to release them 2x2 in all the next sets throughout the rest of the year. And, like, it's going to
what if we never get
like,
them? Mew and Pikachu. I mean, look at the gold cards. Look at the gold cards from Tag All Stars. We finally got the Pikachu Zekrom tag team and the Reshiram and Charizard tag team inside promo boxes. Unless they're going to give us the Mew, Rayquaza, Pikachu, and promo boxes. Or they're going to put them in, like, one subset. Maybe they put all 3 of them in, like, the holiday set that's coming up. Something like that because I don't think they're going to be in the Pokemon Go set. They might be, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Those would be the only ways I see them coming. Because at this point, I mean, I don't know. But that's my thought. Which we pulled that Pikachu in the last week's stream.
It's a good-looking card, man.
Look at that beauty right there.
It's a good card.
Let's see if I can... yeah.
I like it.
Beauty. But yeah, guys, if you're new to the channel here, drop a sub. Smash the like button on the video. It really helps grow the channel. Really much appreciated. If you're listening on audio platforms, please give us a 5-star review, drop a follow, maybe share it with your friends, something like that. We post Pokemon related content here on TCG Funhouse 3 times per week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've been slacking on Mondays. I do apologize. We are getting back to it though. We had a lot of crazy stuff happen, but we will be getting back to that. So coming up this Monday, we're back on those Monday videos, guys. Don't you worry about it. But anyway, ASX, what do you have going on over at your channel, man?
Yeah, I am. I know I keep saying this, but it's coming more into fruition as I get the product. But I am going to be doing a box break at the end of the month. I got some VMAX Climax coming
Such
in,
a good
so I'm
set.
Super excited about that. You literally can't go wrong opening a pack of VMAX Climax. So I'm really excited to have that for you guys. And I'm going to have some Astral Radiance as well. It's right at the end of the month, right when it comes out. So I'm getting really excited for that, getting everything ready here. To get some absolutely massive pulls for you guys.
Awesome stuff. And you guys know that we're live here on Funhouse every single Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to buy into any of our breaks, tcgfunhouse.com. So, that being said, let us know in the comment section what you think about today's video. Give us your thoughts and opinion. Are we in a new era, or is this bubble going to burst? Let us know. Let's talk about it. Let's chat about it. I hope you all have a wonderful night. Oh,